ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 14th। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड किंग चित्रकेतुस लेमेंटेशन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 20-22। यस्यात्मानुवशश्चेत्स्यात्सर्वे तद्विषगायिमे लोकाः सपालयच्छन्ति सर्वे बलिम् अतन्द्रिताः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। Translation: if the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him. His provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance, and what to speak of lesser servants. Purport by Prabhupada: Angira Rishi asked the king whether his mind was also under control. This is most essential for happiness. Text 21. Atmanah priyatenatma parata svato evava lakshaye labdha kamam tvam chintaya shabalam mukham. O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal. Is this because of you yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. Text 22. Evam vikalpito rajan vidusha munina apisaha prashayavanato bhyaha prajakamastato munim. Shukdev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, although the great sage Angira knew everything, he inquired from the king in this way. Thus King Chitraketu, desiring a son, bent low in great humility and spoke to the great sage as follows. Purport: since the face is the index to the mind, a saintly person can study the condition of one's mind by seeing his face. When Angira Rishi remarked about the king's discolored face, King Chitraketu explained the cause of his anxiety as follows. He came out on the street. He had nothing for himself. And all the villagers, they tortured him. And he had to undergo a lot of torture in his life. We are speaking of the story of Avanti Brahman from the 11th canto. Avanti Brahman underwent so much of torture. It is mentioned that people, children were teasing him, the women were teasing him, everyone was teasing him. Children would come and pass urine on his face. That was the level of anxiety he underwent. But Krishna had a supreme plan for him. All this anxiety resulted in a powerful realization. True renunciation came out in the heart of Avanti Brahman. And Avanti Brahman then declared to everyone what was the cause of his anxiety. This beautiful verse from Bhagavatam 11th canto 23rd chapter 42nd verse says, Dvijavacha Nayam jano me sukha dukkha hetur na devatatma graha karma kalaha manap param karanam atman amananti samsara chakram parivartayat yat. Avanti Brahman is saying, who is the cause of my anxiety, my unhappiness? These people are not the cause of my happiness. People are coming and torturing him, and he's saying that these people are not the cause of my happiness. Not the cause of my happiness and distress. Then he's saying, neither are the demigods, neither my own body, neither the planets, the grahas, neither my past karma, neither time. Rather, It is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. So we find this beautiful realization is also reflected here in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, that it is mind alone, the uncontrolled mind, which is the cause of everyone's anxiety. Ultimate cause is the mind. The immediate cause may be someone, some person, some event, some planet. The ultimate cause is our mind. Because once the mind decides, or we agree with the mind, then it creates havoc. Otherwise, mind can itself cannot play any role. Mind is neutral. But we allow the mind to act, then even a good event can prove to be a disastrous event for our life. We find in this case, King Chitraketu is a brilliant example of having anxiety for an uncontrolled mind. You can imagine what King Chitraketu had and for what he was taking anxiety. Bhagavata mentions in the previous verses the glory of King Chitraketu. It is mentioned that King Chitraketu ruled the entire earth. He was the king of the entire earth. Secondly, during his reign, the earth produced all the necessities for life. Perfect king, ideal king. He had 10 million wives. He himself was beautiful, magnanimous, young. He was born in a high family. He had a complete education. He was wealthy. He was opulent. His queens were all beautiful. They had attractive eyes. Still, somehow or other, all these sources of happiness could not give him happiness because he had just one thing. He had no son. So you find that the mind works in such a way that when the mind focuses on a sense object or enjoying a sense object, then even though everything is present, everything looks void and empty. All the sources of happiness were present for King Chitraketu, but his mind focused on having a son. And because of that, definitely there is anxiety that he had no son. But why take anxiety when everything else is also there? He was a king, he had so many queens, he was educated, wealthy, beautiful kingdom. But nothing made him happy. Everything he looked at, he was only miserable. And he was trying his best, but he was always frustrated. So this is how the mind works. Just one small thing the mind focuses on, and even though everything is available for us, we overlook all those things, and the whole life focuses on that one small thing, and the mind makes us complete miserable. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentions that in the West, people have so many sense objects for enjoyment, so many shopping malls where everything is available. People have stress for not having sense enjoyment. But people also get stressed when too much sense enjoyment is available, don't know what to choose. Radhanath Maharaj mentioning that people go to shopping malls to buy a toothpaste and they get stressed to choose a toothpaste because so many brands are available. Which should I enjoy? Just choosing a toothpaste makes them miserable. So we can find ultimately the mind is the cause. Karam Kanan Maharaj had come here. And he mentioned a similar example which Radha Gopinath quoted in his Sunday class, that everyone has that but in his life. So he was mentioning that our mind is makes us so miserable. And he was giving an example that sometimes we go to Prasadam Hall and we come to know that, you know, there is a feast today. And we come to know that there are 13 items made today. And we're sitting in the plate anticipating that we'll get those. And as the items are coming, we are happy, satisfied. Items are one by one, all the items are coming. So there are, because so, there is feast, so maximum attendance is there. Everyone has come. So everywhere the rows are full. naturally servers are shortage of servers because everyone wants to take prasad first. So you find one particular server, he missed your row and he had jalebi. You already have rasgulla in your plate, you already have sweet rice, you already have amras in your plate, but this devotee somehow or other missed your row, and you're watching that devotee carrying the dabba of jalebi, distributing to everyone except your row, and you're waiting. And in anticipation of that jalebi, you're waiting the feast, but you're waiting for jalebi. You're eating rasgulla, you're eating sweet rice, your amras, pulao, whatever. And this devotee doesn't come at all in your row. You finish the whole feast, 14 items, one item missed, but you could not enjoy those 14 items. Why? Because focus was on the 15th item which you missed. So this is how mind makes us miserable. And it's all because of the uncontrolled mind. So there is a nice story which His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj once told. There was a rich boy, fabulously rich, everything he had, but he had that one but in his life. He was very beautiful, except that he had a small nose. His nose was very small. And he was always in anxiety. Why do I have a small nose? He tried all kinds of medicines to improve, to elevate his nose. But nothing worked. But because he was so much conscious of his nose, people came to know that this person is nose conscious. So therefore they started teasing him. And he was called as a person with little nose. Always called as a person with a little nose. Eventually he got married. But because he had that small nose, he also got a wife who also had a small nose. So his anxiety increased now. Because now wherever he would go, they would laugh. The nose, small nose couple, they would call them. So his anxiety was increasing day by day, and finally decided that I should do something. The only thing was the small nose. So he went to the forest, and in the forest he met a sage. And he told the sage that this is a problem. I have this small nose. Please do some, make a solution. I am miserable. I cannot enjoy anything in my life. So the sage gave him a stone. So this is a special stone. It will fulfill three boons, whatever you ask. So he was very happy. So when he saw the stone, he only saw his nose in the stone. His big nose, which he can achieve from the stone. He did not ask anything from the stone. He waited till he reached his home. And then he told his wife that this is the stone I have got. And there ensued an argument between husband and wife what to ask. The wife was saying, we'll ask for wealth, more wealth, and this and that. And this fellow was saying, no, we should ask for big nose. And so much argument to and fro that this argument went into heated argument, anger, and this boy, this man, caught the stone and said, I only want nose, 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 only nose. Or we only want nose. Because he asked so many times nose, the number of times he asked the nose, all those noses came on his body. His body was full of noses. Full of nose. His wife and him, body was full of nose. Big anxiety. Now big nose has come, but all over the body. One small nose and big noses. So then he was surprised, and his wife alarmed him. Now, next benediction. Ask properly. Don't make a haste. So he properly asked this next benediction, that please remove our noses. All the nose went away. Even the original nose also went away. The third benediction remained. So he decided, I will ask now for a beautiful nose. But his wife said, no. If you ask for a beautiful nose, what will happen? Our beautiful nose will be obvious in the public. And they will ask us, suddenly how your nose became so beautiful? And if they come to know that we got three benedictions and that how we made fool of ourselves by losing those two benedictions, that is not nice. So better let us ask for our original nose. So they ultimately asked for their original small nose. So in the beginning they were in anxiety, They tried their ways to be happy, in the end, more and more anxiety. So this is how the mind works. The mind itself gives ideas how you can come out of anxiety. And when you apply those ideas, the result is more anxiety. So that is the problem. Like, I'll tell my own example. While chanting today Hare Krishna in the morning, chanting rounds, so many thoughts were coming, good thoughts, of what I can speak in the Bhagavatam class. And I was trying my best not to think of those thoughts. But all the best thoughts were coming in chanting. In fact, when I reflected back all the thoughts, I prepared an entire new lecture in my chanting. Best of points. And the whole idea was, my whole chanting was concentrated on not to focus on Harinam, but to focus, not to think of any points. So in the beginning there was anxiety because the lecture was not prepared. Those ideas came and there was more anxiety. So this is how the mind works. So in our devotional life also, our mind gives so many ideas. Like many times when we are counseling college students and they have taken up Krishna consciousness very seriously. And they come with brilliant ideas. Prabhuji, I want to immediately become very much Krishna conscious. In fact, I want to join ashram also. But there's some problem in my family, you know. Family cannot be maintained properly. Some financial restraints are there. So I thought that let me go away, get a job, high paid job somewhere, work for 3 years, and after 3 years, completely settle down. I'll come back, focus on my spiritual life. What a brilliant idea it is. But the problem is, you should know that in the material world, we cannot settle down. Material world is not a place to settle. Material world is placed like a stool house compared to where do your work and get out. So we are trying to settle down in the material world, which we cannot do. The idea is good, because ultimate gain is Krishna consciousness, but such ideas should be properly guided in the association of devotees. And when that endeavor is done, the most important part is, when you're endeavoring, right now whatever Krishna consciousness we have, we should not compromise on that. That is most important. We compromise our Krishna consciousness now, so that 3 years later we will do more Krishna consciousness. It never happens. So therefore there is a saying that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because our plans can never succeed. So mind always gives us plans. So this is generally a solution is where people always try to get solutions or ideas from their own mind. But this is not a solution. The solution for our controlling our mind is to learn from devotees. We find here Angira Muni is entering the life of Chitraketu Maharaj and is going to learn so many things from him. So learning from pure devotees. The difference between, the similarity between a devotee's life and an outsider is that externally the situation is same. It's not after becoming a devotee, suddenly the material world appears different for us or suddenly something else happens. No, the situation remains same. But the devotee takes shelter of Krishna. The external remains same. The mind is also same. The only change is the attitude of a devotee, because he sees everything with the vision of Krishna consciousness. One time Srila Prabhupada was approached by a young boy about to get married. So he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how to avoid anxiety in married life? Srila Prabhupada saw him and told him, we can never avoid anxiety in material world. And Prabhupada told him, so you decide to, if you decide to marry a beautiful wife, a beautiful girl, there will be anxiety that she will run away. If you marry an ugly girl, there will be anxiety that you don't have attraction for her, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada later said, and if you feel that, why take a mess, make a mess of life, a statement like this, there will be anxiety that your life is unfulfilled. Then Prabhupada told, you will be always in anxiety. Therefore, only one thing you can do, chant Hare Krishna and relieve your anxiety. So that is the solution which pure devotees give. Chant Hare Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and in this way, we can relieve our anxiety. So this is the real approach, real solution, Krishna consciousness. Many times we jump to conclusions when something happens, our ideas do not work. We find in a neophyte nature, or even in the outside world, people say, why this material world was made? Why Krishna made this material world? Dukkhalayam. If he has given us a chance to enjoy here, facility should be there to enjoy. Why Krishna made this material world? So one time Srila Prabhupada was approached by one such devotee who asked Prabhupada, why Krishna made this material world? And Prabhupada told, Krishna made this material world for sense gratification. And his devotee was having a ray of hope in his life. Prabhupada saw that. Prabhupada said, Krishna made this world for sense gratification, but not yours, his. So this material world is made for Krishna's enjoyment. And therefore Chanakya Pandit very humorously says, if someone wants to enjoy this material world, enjoy sense gratification, I have two secrets for him. It's a humor. The first secret is, such a person should be thoroughly convinced that he will never die. Then only he can enjoy sense gratification. And second is, such a person should be convinced that each and every activity which he does is glorious. Each and every activity he does is glorious. If these two things he is convinced about, then there is a chance of enjoying sense gratification. But we can see only a fool, as Sridhar Maharaj said, can be in such a condition where he will convince that he will never die and that everything he does in life is glorious. So therefore, the cause is uncontrolled mind, and throughout Shastras we have references of how our uncontrolled mind can be tamed, can be made into a devotee. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this mind can be our friend or can be our enemy also. The mind is cause of liberation, and the mind, same mind, can be cause of our bondage. So many times we are told that if the mind is giving a lot of negative thoughts, mind is troubling you, neglect your mind. So this is one proposition. Neglect the demands of mind. No matter what best ideas the mind give, neglect. As I was mentioning, chanting. Chanting is the time when best of ideas come. How to render service. So one way is you take a notebook and start writing all those ideas. But that is not a solution. Neglect. Should neglect the mind and keep chanting. But neglect the demands of mind is not enough. Because if you keep neglecting your enemy, the enemy will become very much ferocious and it will attack you in double strength. So there is a positive aspect also. Neglect the demands of mind and then engage the mind positively. Therefore, we find Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified as Yasyam Vai Shruyamanayam Krishna Paramapurushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsan Shoka Moh Bhayapaha. That means one who gives oral reception to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, such a person will be completely free from lamentation, illusion, and fear, which all generate from the uncontrolled mind. The solution is, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam, study Srimad Bhagavatam. One more aspect of controlling the uncontrolled mind is to chant the holy names of Krishna. Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. This mind is compared to a mirror with lot of dust. So when you chant, you are removing the dust from the mirror of a heart. And slowly, slowly, by removing the dust, once true consciousness is evoked, the mind is controlled. So chanting is another process. And as we mentioned that, we should give oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now Srimad Bhagavatam also means person Bhagavat. So when we give oral reception to devotees, then they can also help us in controlling our minds. Srila Prabhupada very nicely says in the purport that since the face is the index to the mind, a saintly person can study the conditions of one mind by seeing his face. So a devotee can easily analyze. In allopathy there is blood taste, x-ray taste, and this taste, that taste. In Ayurveda they have this testing their nadi. But for a devotee, he can test other devotee in misery by seeing the face. So that is a face test. Face is the index of the mind. So we can see that devotees are our only hope because they are easily available in one sense. And it can be a little painful sometimes when our misery is pointed out to us. It's very painful to accept that we are miserable. But if we accept it, then the solution is half achieved. And then when we work on the solution, we can come out of miserable nature. So in this case here, in Chitraketu Maharaj's case, he was very fortunate because he got the association of such a devotee. Devotees are our only hope. Chitraketu Maharaj's life, which was hopeless, got a hope. As soon as Angira Muni entered his palace. Now, he had not invited Angira Muni. And the previous shlokas, as Radha Gopinath said, that Angira Muni was traveling without engagement. That means Angira Muni was inspired from within by Paramatma to go to Chitraketu Maharaj. So, Krishna is sending his saintly devotees, Angira Muni, to Chitraketu Maharaj. Angira Muni's contribution to Chitraketu Maharaj's life is very important. Because now we know, we already actually, this whole chapter regarding Chitraketu Maharaj is going upside down actually. The life of the end of Chitraketu Maharaj is shown as Vritrasur, and the beginning is shown now. Chitraketu Maharaj, who is fully involved in materialistic way of living, wants a son, million wives. The difference between two situations was the intervention of Angira Muni. Chitraketu Maharaj has been counseled by Angira Muni that mind is the source of anxiety. We find, just turning pages, the same counseling was given by Chitraketu Maharaj as Vritrasur to Indra. Perfect realization Chitraketu Maharaj as Vritrasur he got because of the intervention of Angira Muni. So Angira Muni was a very powerful person. I was making some research on anything Srila Prabhupada had said about Angira Muni in different purports. And Prabhupada says, Angira Muni was not an ordinary person. He was the first 10 mental sons of Lord Brahma. He is one of the 9 principal sages. It is mentioned that when Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas and divided into 4, he gave Atharva Veda to Angira Rishi. Well qualified sage. Angira Muni is also the father of Brihaspati, who is the priest of the demigods. Well qualified sage. And it is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, one of his purport, that till today Angira Muni is living. Angira Muni is busy chanting the holy name of Krishna, practicing austerity at a place which is called as Alokananda near the banks of Ganges. And Sridhar Swami remarks that Lord Shiva is well known to have received knowledge from Angira Muni. So this Angira Muni, without being invited, without being even hoped for, he has come at the house of Chitraketu Maharaj. And he is so expert. Immediately he is pointing out that what is the cause of anxiety? The mind. And he is very expert also in dealing. Now we will see as the translations go ahead, how expertly he deals with King Chitraketu. He sees King Chitraketu as a problem. That is, he doesn't have a son. So he gives him a son. Now, this story of a king aspiring for a son is not a new story. It's always happening in scriptures. A king, everything he had, no son. And every time there is one rishi comes, he gives him a fruit and he gets a son. But in this case, when Angira Rishi gave him a benediction, it was a different benediction. All the kings enjoyed a benediction, but this Chitraketu Maharaj was supposed to receive a special mercy of Krishna. So therefore he had to, we will see how he received special mercy of Krishna. King Chitraketu Maharaj got a benediction that he will lament for this benediction. I was wondering why Angira Rishi gave such a benediction of having a son which will be called, who is called a Harsha Shoka. Not Harsha, not even just Shoka, Harsha and Shoka. Because, it's my assumption, but I'm thinking that way, that Because in the life of Chitraketu Maharaj, there was too much of prayas. Atyara prayas yasya prajalpaniyam agraha. Prayas, over endeavor. He had no son. Instead of just lamenting, he was keeping on trying his best. He was marrying one after one. So many women, wife, million wives. Amazing persistence. Who can marry so many women, you know, as wives and still try? He was over-endeavoring for that sense gratification. So therefore, Angira Rishi decided to give him a benediction which will prove to be eye-opener for him. So Chitraketu Maharaj thought that his wife was barren. The wives were barren. But Angira Rishi thought Chitraketu Maharaj's heart was barren. And therefore, immediately before giving him spiritual knowledge, because his heart was barren, Angira Rishi did an irrigation plant, a scheme where he gave a son by which he will experience pain due to son. His idea was that I will be happy when I get a son, but he will experience pain due to son, and the result will be when the son dies, he will be in a position to hear spiritual knowledge. So that arrangement was made to Angira Rishi. And Angira Rishi was well aware what's going on in Chitraketu Maharaj's life. And Angira Rishi is such a powerful devotee. Amazing. He has been given this service by Lord Krishna to make Chitraketu Maharaj into a pure devotee. And he wants to do best this service. So next time when he comes, he's going to come. He doesn't come alone. He brings the best of devotees to preach to Chitraketu Maharaj. He gets Narad Muni, the best of preachers. Angira Muni is already the best preacher, but he is getting the best of everything because he wants that Chitraketu Maharaj, who has got so much of lamentation in his life, should also get best of facilities to practice devotional service. And then Narad Muni gave him, for all that lamentation he had, for all that turmoil in his devotion, in his life he underwent, he got a very easy task. It is mentioned Narad Muni gave him mantra to chant for 7 days only, and then he will see Lord Shankarshan. So there was a quick thing in devotional service for him, but for that he had to undergo a very thorough purification. And then a quick thing, 7 days, darshan of Lord Shankarshan. And then he attended prayers. It is mentioned that Chitraketu's Maharaj to Lord Shankarshan is so famous that many personalities quote those prayers. An amazing thing is, that was not enough. Later, Chitraketu Maharaj was given a chance to rule Vidyadhar Loka. And then he was cursed by Parvati Devi. And Prabhupada says, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in later purports, that Lord Krishna wanted to bring Chitraketu Maharaj back to Vaikuntha Loka. And therefore he intervened in his life. And Srila Prabhupada says, just like the Jaya Vijaya were cursed by the four Kumaras, which was nothing but an intervention of the Lord. Similarly, Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed, which was an intervention of the Lord, so that Chitraketu Maharaj, who was doing his devotional service properly, will come back to Vaikuntha Loka immediately. So we can see that if we allow devotees to work in our life, then when they work in our life, there will always be a better end. Chitraketu Maharaj initially was miserable. In the end, it was very beautiful. In fact, Lord Shiva glorified Chitraketu Maharaj. Narayana para sarve na kutashyana vibhati. He gives the example of Chitraketu Maharaj to Parvati Devi. This Chitraketu Maharaj, he was on the earth, performed devotional service there. Then he was transported to a heavenly planet, Siddhaloka. And there were so many women there along with him. But he engaged everyone else, all of them, in glorifying Krishna. Perfect devotee in heaven. He was cursed to have a hellish life. Perfect devotee in hell also. So we can see Chitraketu Maharaj underwent a lot of turmoil in his life. The result was Chitraketu Maharaj was glorified. And it all happened because of the expert dealing of a devotee in his life. So that is the whole idea. If you allow devotees to exercise their opinion, Krishna conscious opinion in our life, initially there might be little resistance on our part because the ideas may not be suiting our mind, but the ultimate end will be the best. And that is the only solution. So that is the whole, in some substance for this, that we can control our uncontrolled mind by chanting, by reading Bhagavatam. And the best part is, allowing devotees to giving our ourselves to the devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? Yes, my Mataji.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
How do you bring your parents on a spiritual platform, you know? I mean, I haven't been a good preacher. Actually, I've bombarded them, but you know, I want them to come on a spiritual platform. How do you preach to them?
This is a common mistake which everyone makes when they come to Krishna consciousness, that they feel whatever they hear in lectures, they give commentary, purport, and speak them to their parents. And the result is the parents, instead of coming closer to Krishna, they move more away from Krishna. So generally, I heard many devotees saying that we should never preach to our parents, but we should be very nice to our parents. Being nice to our parents means we can always invite them for programs, not force them to come, invite them for programs, or you can give them prasad, some opportunity by which they can start their devotional service. And the best part is to set up on our own example. Because when you're practicing devotional service, we don't see our own selves, what are the changes we undergo. But the person who's always in our association, he sees the change. The way we find many times our friends, they give up our association, old friends. Why? Because they see the change. Not able to compete now. There is no compatibility now. So therefore, when the parents see the change in the externals of a devotee because of his Krishna conscious positive change, then the parents also in their heart start developing appreciation. They may not show it directly. It may take some time, but eventually by our persistence, by our prayers to Krishna, a devotee's prayer is very powerful. We can always pray. Whenever we are told to pray on special festivals, we can make an extra prayer for our relatives. I know one devotee, one boy comes to Dalvan based program. So this boy was not a devotee, his mother was a devotee. For 6 years, this mother chanted 32 rounds, 16 rounds for his son. And today this boy is a fixed up devotee. Prayers worked. So this is where we can see. Prayers, giving them prasad, encouragement, that's more essential than the philosophy. The philosophy can be told by other devotees, not by us. In this way, our parents, ultimately we should depend on Krishna. We cannot make anyone devotee, it is Krishna who makes everyone devotees. So we can try. Still, if they have their free will and don't want to exercise their free will in Krishna consciousness, what can be done? Hare Krishna. Continue our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.